the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name's Dan Latto. And if you notice, we've been taking a bit of a break from doing podcasts. And in fact, our last podcast came out on the 29th of June. Today's date is actually the 14th of July. So we've been about 2 weeks. And considering we were releasing a podcast almost one every day, we just wanted to take a little bit of time off. Obviously, the Brexit result came in and we hit summer here in Spain. And it's absolutely gorgeous out there. So it's like 34 degrees. We've been swimming every day. We've been in the pool every day. We've been getting fit. And we're very fortunate to be in that position just to decide not to do any more work for a little bit. So we're pretty much going to take the rest of July off as well. But I do realise that a lot of people, and we've had lots of emails coming in saying, when's your next podcast due out? And you know what? We actually weren't going to do a podcast. We were going to wait until August. But I figured let's get some podcasts out and we'll probably record a couple, clump them together and then just schedule them. Just so that we can keep the content flowing, because people are relying on us for those podcasts, those touches of inspiration, those bits of knowledge, those interviews and so on. So I thought, let's just get a couple of podcasts out for you. But we're very fortunate, you see, to be able to take some time off and just make that decision. And it wasn't something that was planned, although we're going to talk a little bit about planning later on. But I just got to that stage where I was thinking, you know what? Oh, to heck with it. Let's just take summer off. So we're going to take the rest of July off. We're back in the UK. We've got a wedding to go to. We're back in the UK for a week. So we'll take our umbrellas and our large coats because it's going to be raining and it's going to be cold, especially when you live here in Spain and it's 34 degrees. It's like going back to the Antarctic when you go back to England. I was there just last weekend and it rained all weekend. I couldn't even cut my grass. But we're very, very fortunate enough to be able to do that. And one of the reasons why we're very fortunate enough to be able to do that is because of everything that we've spoken about in these, you know, this is podcast 57. So go back and listen to all other 56 podcasts. Everything that's in those podcasts will enable you to become financially free. I mean, we've spoken about everything. We've spoken about getting started with no money down. We use Francis Dolly and his rent-to-rent model. We've talked about how to do due diligence. We've talked about lease options. We've had Barry Davis on twice, in fact. Barry's just recently completed on a huge mansion in Bristol. When he first started coaching, he was on, you know, 5 years ago, he was on like minus 50 quid. Go back to that podcast and listen to that one. And now he's just moved into £1.5 million residence. Yeah, £1.5 million. And it's not worth that. It's worth more than that. It needs a lot of work doing to it. And one of the things Barry's really good at is doing that work. And so that information, it's all in there. It's all in the podcast. Go back to the very first podcast, which talks about my three rules. Can you remember what they are? Rule number one, cut your costs, generate cash, invest the rest. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's the reason why we've been able to take, and are going to take the rest of July off, is because we watch our expenditure. Once you get financially free and wealthy, in fact, let's just scrap that. Before you get financially free, most people run into some money, and what do? They spend it on rubbish. I know someone who's recently been given some money, and a lot of money. What do? They go out and buy a new car. They spend it on holidays. And so once that money's gone, it's gone. Instead of buying an asset that'll generate cash each and every month. So if, let's say you bought an asset, and it generated £200 a month from that asset. And that's all you could afford, right? That's £1,200 a year. That's a holiday every year for the rest of your life. Or certainly, let's say 50% of your holiday to a nice holiday every year for the rest of your life. And if you bought two of those properties, you know, you're talking like £2,500 a year. You could save that money up. But no, they went off and spent it on cars and holidays and TVs and, you know, extensions on the house and all that stuff that just doesn't generate an income. And I see it time and time and time again. I see people putting the money that they've got, instead of into assets, into stuff, into extensions, for goodness sake. And it's like, it drives me insane. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And we hear stories of people, and they're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, traveling all around the world, never seeing the kids. They hate their jobs and they're coming to some money. And what do? But buy an extension. And I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, we're lucky because we learnt this lesson 17 years ago. That's how long I've been in property. Buy assets that puts money in your pocket. Go back and read Rich Dad Poor Dad. It's all in there. All the information is out there. The thing that's stopping people is actually doing it. And I know £200 a month, you're like, oh, well, what's the point? There's not much point. Well, I'll tell you, my first house was about 40, not about, it was £42,500. The mortgage on that each month, it's about 80 quid a month. You know how much money we make on that property each and every month, rental? £1,200. It's a HMO, four bedrooms, and each room gets about £300, give or take. We make £1,200. Now, interestingly, we've remortgaged that. It's now worth £200,000, and we have remortgaged it. We use the money that we came out of that property to buy more assets that generates more wealth. But the mortgage on that property is like £400, plus the £300 it costs us to cover gas, electricity, and so on. We're £500 up a month on that property, £6,000 a year. That's 17 years after we've done it, and it's gone up, what, five times? Five times its original value. That is why you do it. That's why we invest. And there's no point in being short-sighted on this and going, well, it's only 150 quid a month. 150 quid doesn't make a big difference. It all makes a difference. Once you compound it over 17 years, like I have done, and once you use that income to go either to paying down debt or into increasing the number of assets, it's really simple. It's really, really simple. Whatever your expenditure is, if you cut that in half and increase the money that you buy, that you're generating from your assets, you will become financially free. I mean, let's just take compound interest, for example. So my little girl right now, she's 19 months old. She's a very clever little monkey, and which is both good and bad, isn't it? It's good, it's good that she's clever, but then when those why questions come, it's like, oh, it's pretty exhausting, but we wouldn't change that, right? But you know what? We stick £20,000 in a bank account. She'll be a millionaire by the time she's 30. It's a given. Given, and you can do the maths, given that the amount of compound interest that we reinvest into that asset, whatever that asset could be. But maybe we could put 20 grand into a property and actually generate cash flow from that. So the asset increases in value and then the cash flow from that also goes into account. I mean, imagine what that would do. So she'd be a millionaire before she's 30 and it goes into a trust and so she's covered for the rest of her life. We know how to do it. And most people aren't doing it because you're too busy buying your holidays, your gym memberships, your cafe latte macchiato with double extra whipped cream at £4 a day. Multiply that by 5, multiply that by 52. That's an awful lot of money you could save. In fact, there's a book out called The Latte Millionaire, and it refers to doing just that. Instead of spending that money on that, is putting it elsewhere. And you know what? People aren't doing it. And it's like, why are you not doing it? Look, we've just been playing, watching basketball on the NBA finals. Awesome. We actually bought a big screen TV, by the way, 60-inch TV, and I actually bought the TV to watch the finals on. And obviously, you know, we don't watch a lot of TV, but when we do, we want that experience. But we bought that TV not from income that I have to go out and work for, but we bought the TV through income that's generated and regenerated every single month. Because the property portfolio allows us to do that. And it doesn't have to be property, it can be any asset. And properties work really well. We're a little bit top heavy on property and we're actually moving some of our investments off property and into other asset and income generating assets effectively. But so we bought the big screen TV because we can from an asset that regenerates the income every single month. So we're not going out to work and doing 40-hour weeks. That money needs to go into assets that generate more cash. And if, you know, the TV cost 1,000 euros, and as it happens, we actually got the VAT back here in Spain for £200. And we ended up spending that money on an all singing, all dancing barbecue, as it happens. But that money's recycled each and every month. So if we get short of cash one month, we just wait till the next month. And then, and because we're in profit on the first of each month, the money comes in. And the only reason we can do that is because we invested in assets, and it's taken a long time to invest in those assets. Of course, nowadays you can get coaching, you can get people to help you. There's YouTube videos, there's podcasts like this one. There's so much help out there. But it's not more information that you need. It's actually taking action and doing the thing that you know you need to do. If you've got credit card debt, that really is number one. You've got to get yourself a plan. Everything starts from a plan. Everything. We've just had a coaching call. We've not had a coaching call with this client for a little bit of time, and we're feeling a little bit lost. And I'm like, so what's your finances look like? Send me a spreadsheet, let's take a look. And we're like, no, I haven't got one. And I'm like, so you don't know how much money you've got at the end of each month? No. So you don't know how much income you've got? Well, I've got a general idea, okay? And how much money do you spend? Nope, I don't know. I know how much my direct debits are, but I don't know how much money I spend on food, clothing, and all that other stuff that goes with it. Well, that's not good enough. It's just not good enough. If you want to get to where you want to get to, it's down to planning. And I know people go, oh, you can overplan, and I don't like to plan. Do you know, the beauty of not planning is that failure comes as a complete surprise. If you plan to, back to like corporate speak. If you fail to plan, then plan to fail. if you've not worked in corporate, this is the bullshit that you've got to listen to. The one that I do like are the 7 P's. Proper planning and preparation prevents piss poor performance. It's all down to planning. And you've got to plan it down to your nth degree. It's 10:40 Spanish time right now, 9:40 UK time. I've already logged into my bank account and ticked off all the income that's come in and all the outgoings that's gone out. And I've adjusted any spending that I've had on my account. It's all been done this morning, and I do that every single day. I am so anal about logging into my spreadsheet. I do it on the plane. I do it when I'm in England. I do it here in Spain. I log in and I check my spreadsheet. It is the first thing that I do pretty much every single day, other than maybe get a litre of water and get my coffee and what, maybe walk the dog, whatever, right? But if you're not really anal on planning, just forget it. You're going to fail. I know that sounds terrible. And you're like, who are you to say I'm going to fail just because I'm not planning? Look, if you want to get rich, if you want to get wealthy, it's not, well, you know, it's an option to do planning. It's just not an option. If you want to get rich and wealthy within the next 5 years, you have to plan. There is no choice about it. It's not, well, I'll start off and I'll see how I go. That's ridiculous. Why would you do that? Why would you not know the score? That's crazy. So let's say I'm playing basketball against you, right? And we're exchanging baskets, and you're scoring and I'm scoring, but nobody knows what the score is. Well, how much effort do you need to know? Let's also say that we don't know how much time is on the clock. Like, imagine playing a game like that. How do you know if you're going to win or not? That's crazy. That's why we have the score on the wall, so we know what the score is, and we can see the clock. Oh my gosh, I'm 5 points down, there's 30 seconds left, I need to jack 2 threes and win the bloody game, play great defence, get the ball back, stop them from scoring. I'll do that in 30 seconds, I can win the game. But without knowing that information, how would I know to do that? Do I play better defence? Do I just let them shoot 2-pointers? What if I'm up 5 points and there's 5 seconds left? I just let them score the 2 points, so I'm still 3 points up. But if I don't know what the score is, how can I do that? And if you've not got a plan, in particular, a financial plan on a spreadsheet that says what the score is, you're going to fail. It's ridiculous how many people I talk to. So I'm like, have you got a plan? Nope. You got a spreadsheet? Nope. How much money do you spend? I don't know. How much money do you get? I don't know. About 2.5 grand? I don't know. It's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And I think part of it is my fault. I'm responsible that people don't understand this concept, because I've not put it out there enough. It is your responsibility to have a plan, to have a spreadsheet, to have an idea. So if you've got £2,000 on a credit card and you're struggling to pay that off, awesome. We know it's £200 a month. Over 10 months, that will get your credit card. Now we're into, how can we find £200 from your existing expenditure, cut out on the cafe macchiato with double extra whipped cream at £4 a day. Let's get the calculator here. £4 a day times 5 days, 4 times, 5 days a week, right? Times that by 52 divided by 12. That's £86. Perfect. So £200 a month minus £86. We now need to find £114 every single month. Where are we going to find that from? So that's 10 people at £11.40. What can you sell and make £11.40 profit each and every month? Or maybe you can take on one coaching client and charge them £115 a month. What can you do to do that? Let's say you have to give them 3 phone calls every month for that and it lasts an hour. That's not brilliant, but it's not bad, right? You're talking, what are you talking there? Divided by 3 is about £40 an hour. That's not bad. It's a start. So now within 10 months, you'll have paid off that credit card and then you can move that £200 onto something else. And so that's where we're into. But it all starts off you having a plan. It all starts from you having that spreadsheet with that money down. And people think this is optional. People think that this is like a choice. Well, I'll see how it goes. It's just not a choice. You either do this or you're going to fail. Like, you might get lucky, in which case you go, well, actually, Dan, I think you'll find I've already done that and I didn't need a spreadsheet. Well, boo for you. You're one of the lucky few. It's like, I've used this example, I think, on the last podcast. Like, Facebook. Oh, I'll create a Facebook. Loads of money to be made on Facebook. How many other people do you think have made a Facebook-like software product? How many people? Like, a couple of thousand, at least? How many Facebooks are they? One. We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got a few other, like, similar type ones, like LinkedIn and Instagram now and that sort of thing. But like, we've got maybe 10, right? How many people do you think have actually tried to create a social network? I guess it's more than 1,000. I reckon it's probably like 100,000 people. How many have we got? We've got 10. They're not great odds, have they? You're less than, is that 1/10 of a percent? And you're willing to bet your future success on 1/10 of a percent? Not for me. That's the difference. That's why I can look at my spreadsheet and go, do you know what? If I generate no income for the rest of the month, I'm fine. And actually, I can look at the spreadsheet and go, you know, as long as my property income comes in, and if there's a problem, I need to deal with that. But as long as all the rental income comes in, and even if there's an issue, right? Let's say 3 or 4 people don't pay, it's fine. It's not a problem because there's enough money coming in. I can look at the spreadsheet and I can forecast that actually I can take the entire year off. By the way, just saying those words coming out of my mouth fill me with fear. What on earth am I going to do for the rest of the year without doing something? Like, we are, not only are we meaning-making machines, but we are objection-overcoming machines. We like to overcome objectives, things that are in our way. We are problem-solving people. That's what we are. And me not doing any work for the next 6 months absolutely fills me with fear. But that's not the point, is it? The point is that I can make a decision based on my spreadsheet about what I'm going to do for the rest of the year. And I can do that based on the knowledge and the experience that I've had through filling in that spreadsheet for the last 6 or 7 years. I never used to fill in that spreadsheet. I remember a time 6 or 7 years ago, and I was going through my stuff in family court and spending thousands of pounds a week on solicitors. I didn't even look at my finances. I just really didn't. I hammered the, the credit cards. I missed mortgage payments. My head was in the sand. Kids were abducted. I mean, it was pretty horrific stuff, right? And nothing was important than, was rental income coming in and can I pay the solicitor? That was pretty much it. Actually paying mortgages and service charges and electricity bills and all of that sort of thing. I mean, the wolves were at the door at one point because I really didn't take care. I didn't have a spreadsheet. I just didn't have one. I had one for rental income to make sure rent was coming in. I didn't have one for expenditure. 7 years ago, this. It was pretty horrific times. But having gone through that time and climbed out of that pit, you know, we've all got our own stuff that we've gone through. And that was my pit that I had to get through. It was a horrific time. I don't really talk too much about it on the podcast. And I must admit, part of me is like, do we set up a single dad hero podcast to help fellas who are going through what I went through? It was pretty horrific stuff. The guy in the newspaper where it's, you know, the shit's hit the fan, that was me. You know, the like, you name it, we've been accused of it, right? Pretty much everything other than sexual molestation. That's the only thing we've not been accused of. And that'll come at some point, you know? It's just the way that it goes in family court. It's just one of those things. So one of the things that I use to survive through that, and if you're going through a tough time right now, then you can use this, is about taking control. We have talked about this in a previous podcast. Take control over the things that you can take control over. And one of the things that you can take control over are the numbers on that spreadsheet. If you're spending more than you're earning, you might find it difficult to take control over that. But it's not difficult to know what that problem looks like on a spreadsheet with all the numbers plugged into that spreadsheet. Now, by the way, if you're not going through difficulties, that's not a given that you can not fill in the spreadsheet. Like, if you're not going through difficulties and you're £2,000 up a month, but you don't know where it's going, £2,000 a month over 10 months is £20,000. That's one deposit every 10 months. Do that for the next 17 years, you're a millionaire. You can retire. It doesn't matter what age you are. And you know what? If you get coaching, you can do that a lot quicker. And you can buy the right assets. And there's some extra little tricks that you can do that we don't cover in podcasts because you have to pay for that sort of stuff. But if you're doing really well in your life, you need to take a look at where is all your money going. Like, you know, the money on your mortgage, for example. If you're repaying your mortgage at 2.5%, is, you know, and you can put that money into a property that generates 10%, you're losing 7.5% per annum. Like, most people just don't get that. It's a really simple fact, but literally that's what's happening. You're losing 7.5%. If you can get a property, put all your money into it, zero mortgage, that's your yield, 10% a month on a 50 grand house, you're generating £400, that's a 10% yield, more or less. But no, people don't do that. In fact, instead, they're paying off a mortgage, which is 2.5% mortgage interest rate, and they're paying the mortgage down. Instead of generating income from a property that can then generate that cash flow to pay it down. So all of this starts from planning. If you're not planning right now, you've got to go get your spreadsheet. We'll all wait for you. We'll just sit here quietly while you go do it. Press pause, open up spreadsheet, Excel, others are available, and go do it. Even if it's a piece of paper that you have to update, I don't care how you do it, frankly, but you've got to do it. So we have been getting some emails from people asking how to work with me. So let me just cover that as well, because as we move forward, we're taking on less and less clients and we're becoming more fussy about the type of clients that we want. And in particular, the type of clients that we don't want. And so, you know, we get people and they drop me an email saying, I'd like to work with you. So we go fill in the form on the website. If you've got, it's called Work With Me. It's a form on the website. And then, you know what? 2 weeks later, I check to see if they've gone and filled it in and they haven't filled it in. And it's like, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want success? Because I'll give you an example. The ones that go and say, I want to work with you, how do I do it? They go fill in the form, they go fill it in there and then, I email them back saying, perfect, we've got you've got your email, I now understand where you are, what you want, and more about you. When do you want to have your strategy session? That's how we do it. And they go, as soon as possible, we book the strategy session, and you know what? They're the ones that sign up, and they're the ones that get a tremendous amount of success. The ones that take 2 weeks to fill in that form, the ones where I email them and it takes another 2 weeks for them to email me back, the ones that ask a lot of questions before getting on the phone call, they're the ones that we don't want to work with. Because if you're not motivated, we only work with two types of people, really. The two types of people that we work with are those people who've had other coaches and have not had any success. We take on those clients and we get success for them. That's the first type. The other type are people who go, they don't even ask how much it is, they just want to sign up. Like, obviously, you need to know how much it is, right? And I get that. Whenever I sign up for coaching, I need to know how much it is too. But I'm actually looking at what is the result that I can get from that coach. Because even if it was 100 grand, if I can get £1 million, it's worth paying 100 grand. If you're putting 5 grand in and we can help you generate, I don't know, like we've got a client. And on their first deal, they're going to make 25 grand. In a Facebook message, we saved them £4,000 because they mentioned something. And I went, sorry, what was that? And they mentioned it again. And I was like, what are you doing that for? And in that one Facebook exchange, it lasted a few minutes. We saved them potentially anyway, £4,000. We've got to wait until they complete on the deal to see if we can save, depending on which path they actually take, to see whether we'll save them on that. But not only are we making 25 grand, but we're also saving a proportion of that in their tax. Well, we're saving 4 grand, in fact, on that tax. And it's like, they're the two types of people that we work with. We work with those who've gone to other people that not had the success, And the reason why we've not had the success is not because of what they know or what their coach knows, but it's because of the stuff that's going on in the back of their head, right? It's all mental blocks. Or it's people who go, just take my money, I need to sign up, I'm ready for change. Let's do it, let's get started. When can we start? Can we start tomorrow? They're the two types of people. The types of people that don't work with are the types of people who come, well, how much is it? I need to run it past my husband, I need to run it past my wife first. Because what happens is we go on a strategy call, we spend 45 minutes to an hour, and they're ready to sign up, and they say, I need to go check with my husband or my wife. And it's at that point, we just know it's not going to happen. Because a husband or wife goes, how much? No. We want to go, and we've had this, we want to go buy wardrobes, fitted wardrobes instead. And they go and buy fitted wardrobes instead of assets that will generate an income for the rest of their life and allow them to retire early and take the rest of July off. So, in this podcast then, so let's just recap. So we have taken a bit of a break and we'll knock out some podcasts for you just so we can keep going. And the reason why we can do that is because of the income from property. The reason why we can do that is because we're really anal about our spreadsheet and how our planning is 100% in place. We just had a phone call, an email come through where there's some electrical problems on a property. It looks like it's going to cost us $2,000. And I can look at my spreadsheet and go, actually, yeah, we can spend that $2,000. Or actually, you know what, Mr. Electrician, can we pay £2,200 and spread that over 6 months? Because we're monthly beings. We prefer cash flow rather than big amounts going out all at once. We like to keep money in surplus and so on. But we can make a decision based on the spreadsheet. And we've got suppliers that we've negotiated with that will allow us to do that, by the way. We replaced 3 boilers so far this year, all part of our boiler replacement scheme. And we put £600 down, and then we pay the rest over, it's usually about £300 per month, over 4, 6, 8 months, whatever the final amount is. We pay a little bit more for that, but it keeps cash flow going. So then we can cascade the boilers, and then when one boiler's finished and paid off, we move on to the next boiler. And that £200-£300 a month is all plugged into my spreadsheet for the next 12 months, so I can see when we need to go and replace boilers. It's all in there. All that comes from planning. And if you're not doing that right now, then you're going to fail. There's no, like, two ways about it. It's just one of those things. And then we've also covered about, if you want to work with me, then we've covered about the types of people we want to work with and also the types of people we don't want to work with. If you're what we call a tire kicker and, you know, you're not prepared to take the action and you're just doing too much knowledge, listening to podcasts and, like, dipping a toe in the water, all a toe that's dipped in the water will do for you is get you a wet toe. It's like getting all the scuba gap diving gear. You go out to the shops and you buy it and you wear it. And then you listen to a scuba diving podcast and you're watching scuba diving videos and you're reading how to scuba dive in a weekend. And then you go to your local pool, you've got your fins on and you dip your toe in the water and you go, oh, that's rubbish, that doesn't work. That's what most people are doing. That's not what's going to get you the success. You've got to get in the pool. You've got to get in the sea wearing all your stuff. You've got to take that action. Most people are not prepared to take that action. And they're the people that we don't want because we can't get results off that. Like, who could get a result off that? It's just not possible if you're not prepared to do the work. So you've got to be prepared to do the work. And sometimes it's about taking that leap of faith. There's a scene in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And he's where he finds the Knights Templar and the cup of Christ that he drunk out of, the Holy Grail, that was it, sorry, couldn't remember what it was called. And he has to take a leap of faith. And he looks like he has to jump onto midair, but actually he's on a platform that's just colour-coded to look like it's floating in midair. So he has to take a leap of faith, and it looks like he's going to fall, but he just has to jump onto it. And I remember that, when I first bought my first property, that image played over and over in my head because I remembered thinking, this is the leap of faith that I have to take. And that's what you have to take as well. If you're not there yet, you know, people go, oh, property investing's risky. It's not risky. It's not if you do it right. Like, tightrope walking is risky. But that's why tightrope walkers practice, get on the tightrope. They don't watch a video on YouTube about tightrope walking or read a book in a weekend, they get on a tightrope and fall off. Like, that's not a great idea if you're on a skyscrapers, but it's not bad if you're 3 foot above the floor. But if you've got a tightrope walking coach to help you through it, then you're going to accelerate those results. It's obvious. It's so obvious, right? And people still don't do it. They still would rather buy the books, watch the videos, listen to the podcast on tightrope walking, speak to the friends at a tightrope walking networking event without actually getting on a tightrope. I'm going to stop saying that because it's a bit of a tongue twister for me. Okay, so we're coming up to about the 30-minute mark, so I think we'll call it there. So a good session really there. I pretty much enjoyed that one. Ended up on a bit of a rant about planning, which I quite enjoy having my rants. It's been a while since I've had a done rant. So look, give me some feedback. Do you agree? Do you disagree? What are your thoughts on this? Am I talking complete and utter twaddle? And if so, explain why. I'd love to hear back from you. Drop me an email. Ask me how to come and work with me, and I'll direct you to the form on the website. Don't take 2 weeks to fill it in, no. All right, hope that's useful for you. My name's Dan Latto, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.